Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Think your neighbors are bad? Think again. This is the Nightmare Neighbors Podcast.
Okay, so we've all had them, right? Neighbors? Some are great, some are A, and some make you wonder if you've stumbled into some kind of bizarre reality show.
Oh, absolutely. And that actually leads perfectly into what we're diving into today.
Right. You guys sent in a letter, and let me tell you, this one is a doozy.
Definitely sounds like a real nightmare neighbor situation.
No kidding. So let's dive in. You describe this neighbor, Kyle, as, well, picture this. Flip-flops, even in the dead of winter.
Okay, I'm picturing it. Keep going.
Tribal tattoos and, like, stuck in the early 2000s, yeah. You know, that whole bro vibe.
The bro era. I'm starting to get a clear image.
But here's the thing. Kyle himself, almost a side note, it was the revolving door of, shall we say, interesting characters that really took the cake.
That's fascinating. Sometimes it's not even the neighbor directly, but the company they keep that causes the real chaos.
100%. You described it so well. Shady looking folks in hoodies. A woman who only seemed to exist to yell into her phone at like 2 a.m.
Oh, wow. That's rough.
And people, well, let's just say dental hygiene wasn't a top priority for some of them.
I get it. You painted a picture. Not exactly the kind of welcoming committee you want right outside your door.
Not at all. But then there's the secondhand smoke. You mentioned your kids. Even they started commenting on it.
Oh, man, that's tough. When it starts affecting your family, especially the little ones, that's a whole other level of stress.
It was like a constant skunk-like smell, you know? Just wafting in.
Yikes. I can only imagine. So what did you do? Did you try talking to Kyle?
We did.
Yeah.
I tried the whole polite neighbor approach, brought up my kid's asthma, you know, tried to appeal to the human side.
That seems reasonable. What'd he say?
Well, his response was something about CBD oil for the kids. And I just...
Whoa, that's a bit of a left field response.
Right. It felt like he wasn't taking the whole thing seriously at all.
Yeah, that dismissive attitude can be infuriating, especially when you're trying to do the right thing, be responsible.
It was so frustrating.
Yeah.
And then things went from annoying to downright bizarre. Like one morning we woke up and my husband's truck was
cut
in half-eaten spaghetti.
Okay, the spaghetti incident. Gotta ask, was this like a prank gone wrong or more targeted? I mean, it's definitely creative, but also a bit messy.
It makes you wonder, right? And it didn't stop there. Public urination became a thing. Late night parties, it sounded like a zoo breakdancing competition. And strangers coming and going at all hours. It was unsettling.
It sounds like a complete lack of respect for boundaries. It's more than just noise. It's about feeling secure in your own space.
Exactly. And one day, I found a single damp sock on my patio.
A damp sock? Seriously?
That's what I thought. Like, who just leaves a lone damp sock? It felt deliberate, almost symbolic, you know?
Totally. Like a little screw you from the universe. Those little things can really chip away at your peace of mind.
So through all of this, we're documenting everything. Calling the landlord, leaving messages, sending emails. Crickets. Nothing.
Ugh. The unresponsive landlord. Sadly, it's a more common complaint than you'd think. Still, that's rough.
It was so deflating, you know? Feeling like you have nowhere to turn, no one's listening.
Absolutely. When you feel like you're hitting a brick wall, it's natural to start feeling powerless.
And you start questioning your sanity a little. Like, is this really happening?
Oh, I see me. We've all been there. But trust me, you're not alone in this. Many tenants face these same challenges. And it's important to remember that, despite how it feels sometimes, you do have rights.
That's a good reminder, right? Because it does feel pretty isolating when you're going through it. So what do you do when you feel like you've tried everything? We're going to find out right after the break. So here you are, constant noise, weird stuff happening, the smoke is affecting your kids, the landlord's ghosting you. Like, what do you even do at that point?
It's really easy to feel stuck, like completely powerless. But there are things you can do, resources to help.
So you join that neighborhood Facebook group, hoping for, I don't know, some solidarity, maybe some advice.
Those groups can be wild, right?
Yeah, let's just say the suggestions were a little more woo-woo than I was expecting, like sage burning and positive affirmations.
The internet, not always the most practical when you need real-world solutions.
Exactly. We needed a game plan, not good vibes. So, feeling stuck, we went rogue. First, the passive-aggressive notes.
Classic. Did it work?
Not really. Then, strategic placement of, shall we say, potent air freshener. That got a reaction, but not the good kind.
I can imagine. Sometimes, though, you gotta fight fire with fire.
That's what my husband thought. Enter. Liquid ass.
Okay, gotta hear this. What's liquid ass?
You know those prank stink bombs? It's like that, but weaponized.
Oh, wow. So not exactly subtle?
Nope. The goal was to make the place smell so bad, Kyle and his crew wouldn't want to hang out there anymore.
Did it work?
For a bit. You can definitely tell his friends were not happy about the mystery stench. But, and this is where things got kind of scary, the retaliation started.
Uh-oh. What happened?
First, it was the trash cans. We woke up one morning. They're gone. Later, we found them dumped a few blocks over.
That's not just annoying. That's straight up violating your property, crossing a line.
We thought so, too. But then came the flaming bag of dog poop.
You're kidding, right?
I wish I was. My husband, bless his heart, thought it was just trash and stepped on it. You can imagine the rest.
That's insane. Like, beyond rude. That's seriously messed up. Was anyone hurt?
Thankfully, no. But it was terrifying. Like, okay, this isn't just about noise anymore. They're trying to intimidate us.
Absolutely. It's meant to scare you, make you feel unsafe in your own home. That's not neighborly. That's harassment.
We call the landlord again, freaking out. And his response was, and I quote, "I can't prove it's them."
Wow. Just wow. Talk about passing the buck.
Right. It was mind-blowing. That's when we knew we had to get out.
Yeah.
But then came the final straw. The thing that made it crystal clear we couldn't stay there another minute.
What happened?
My 7-year-old found a used syringe in our yard.
Oh my God. Seriously.
That was it. We're done. We called the landlord, this time furious and scared. But his response was basically, not my problem.
I don't even have words. A used syringe. That's a serious health hazard. Not to mention terrifying for a child to find.
Right. It felt like we were living in a nightmare we couldn't wake up from. So we knew we had to move. But finding a decent place in our city? Not easy.
Mm.
And not fast. So while we were house hunting, well, we decided to get a little creative with our payback.
Oh, tell me more.
We started with noise complaints.
Okay.
Every time Kyle's posse got a little too rowdy, boom, call to the city. Then we found out his buddy's pit bull, the one that was always roaming around, wasn't licensed.
Mm.
Cue, animal control.
Nice. Hit him where it hurts.
Right. But we saved the best for last. We sent Kyle a glitter bomb disguised as a package from his friends.
The glitter bomb, a classic. I bet that was a sight to see.
I wish I could have been a fly on the wall. But here's the craziest part. Right after the glitter bomb incident, they vanished. Like, poof, gone.
Just like that.
Yep. One day they're blasting music, the next, silence. We were relieved, obviously, but also kind of baffled. It was almost anticlimactic after all that.
It's like the universe's way of saying, okay, we're done with this chapter. But it makes you wonder, what happens to all the nightmare neighbors? Do they just move on to torment someone else?
Right. It's like a never-ending cycle. It makes you appreciate the good neighbors even more.
Absolutely. It's a reminder to be kind, be considerate, and maybe invest in some earplugs just in case.
Word. So we moved, got a great new place, and thankfully the neighbors are awesome. But it made me think, what about the people who can't just pick up and move? What options do they have when they're dealing with a nightmare and an absentee landlord? It's like you did everything right, you know? But sometimes it feels like the system's rigged against tenants.
Yeah, I get that. It can be super frustrating. But even when it feels hopeless, there are things you can do to protect yourself.
Like what would you recommend for people stuck in a similar situation?
First things first, document everything. And I mean everything.
Okay, so not just like venting in my diary. What kind of documentation are we talking?
Dates, times, descriptions, photos, videos, if you can get them safely. Basically, a detailed timeline of the crazy.
So if it hits the fan, I've got proof, right? It's not just he said, she said.
Exactly. And this goes for landlord communication, too. Try to keep everything in writing. Emails, letters, the whole nine yards.
Makes sense. So if you're calling the landlord, emailing, and getting radio silence, is there anything else you can do to get their attention?
Persistence is key. And think official. Certified letters, those require a signature when they're delivered. Harder to ignore than an email.
Right, it's like you're leaving a paper trail. They can't just sweep under the rug.
Exactly. And speaking of official, did you know most places actually have laws about this stuff? Like what landlords are responsible for, tenants' rights, all that jazz.
Okay, so it's not just like hoping your landlord's a decent human being.
Nope. There are actual legal protections for renters. Often cover stuff like maintaining a safe and peaceful environment, dealing with issues that affect habitability, basically making sure your home is, well, livable.
You mentioned habitability earlier. What does that actually mean?
So habitable basically means your rental unit meets basic health and safety standards. Think working plumbing, heating, no major infestations, and freedom from, you know, hazards.
Okay, so like if my neighbor's wild parties are making my place a literal dumpster fire, the landlord's got to step in.
You got it. If their actions are making your unit uninhabitable, you've got a strong case for landlord intervention.
What if they still do nothing? Like, I've sent the letters, documented everything, and the landlord's still MIA. What then?
Well, then it might be time to call in the big guns. A lawyer, specifically one who specializes in tenant rights.
Okay, so like, I'm not just going full on Judge Judy on my own.
Probably best to leave it to the pros. They can lay out your options, which could include things like formally demanding repairs, withholding rent, even breaking your lease without penalty in extreme cases.
Whoa, okay, so there are actual legal avenues for this stuff.
There are. But let's be real. Legal action can be scary, expensive, not always the easiest route.
So what if you can't afford a lawyer or just don't want to go that route? Are there other options?
Definitely. Most places have tenant rights organizations or housing advocacy groups. They offer advice, help you find legal resources, even act as mediators between you and the landlord.
So like a support system for renters.
Exactly. You don't have to go through this alone.
Speaking of mediation, could that actually work in this kind of situation?
Sometimes, yeah. Especially if both sides are willing to, you know, actually talk and listen. A neutral mediator can help facilitate the conversation, find compromises, and hopefully come up with solutions that work for everyone.
So even when it feels like the neighbor's being totally unreasonable, there's a chance for a peaceful resolution.
There's always a chance. But of course, there are situations where it goes beyond just being annoying. You mentioned feeling unsafe, finding that syringe.
Yeah, that was definitely a turning point. Like, this isn't just about noise complaints anymore.
Right. If you ever feel truly threatened, don't hesitate to call the police. File a report, document the incident, the whole shebang. That paper trail can be crucial for legal action, too.
Makes sense. It's like protecting yourself goes beyond dealing with the annoying stuff. It's about your actual safety.
Exactly. Which brings up a good point. Sometimes the best defense is a good offense.
Okay, how do I offense against a nightmare neighbor?
Think of it as being proactive. When you're apartment hunting, really scope out the neighborhood. Maybe even chat with potential neighbors if you can. And don't be afraid to ask the landlord about their policies, especially regarding mice complaints and guest limits.
So like due diligence before you sign that lease.
Yep. It can save you a lot of heartache down the line.
This has been so helpful. Documentation, tenant rights, legal options, even just knowing there are resources out there. It feels less overwhelming now.
I'm glad. Remember, you're not alone in this. And honestly, sometimes the best revenge is just living well.
Love that. So we've covered a lot today. From documenting everything to lawyering up to glitter bombing, what's the biggest takeaway you want people to remember?
This sounds cheesy, but it's true. You deserve to feel safe and respected in your own home, period. And if that's not happening, there are ways to fight back.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Big thanks to our expert for all the wisdom and to you guys for sending in your stories. Remember, you've got rights, you've got resources, and you've got a whole community here to support you.
And hey, if all else fails, there's always the glitter bomb option.
Always. Thanks for tuning in to The Deep Dive. We'll catch you next time.
Want more Nightmare Neighbors stories? Then press subscribe now wherever you're listening to this podcast. We'll give at least one brand new Nightmare Neighbor story every single day. Plus, you can always explore the archive as well. This is the Nightmare Neighbors podcast. Press subscribe now.